Our text for meditation tonight is in the chapter we have read, the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. And the verse that, with God's help, we are going to study is verse 13, where we read, "A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts." And I gave this title to my sermon, "The Preciousness of Christ." The preciousness of Jesus Christ. I have three headings: the reason why Jesus is so precious, how this preciousness is felt by the believer, and the results of this preciousness in our lives. Before we consider these three headings very briefly tonight, just a brief word of introduction. It is my deepest conviction that my duty as a preacher, and the duty of every preacher, is to show the supremacy of Christ. This is what a minister or a preacher is all about. When a minister commends Christ to sinners, when a preacher invites men and women to take Jesus, he must give reasons. Here is the reason why you should have Christ. Here is why you should believe on him. And the best reason is to show to sinners, by God's Spirit and grace, the excellency of Christ. There is nothing that will bring men to Christ than, by God's grace, to show to them Christ. And let me quote Spurgeon on this matter. "A man came with him and he said, 'I'm not coming anymore to hear you preaching, because you're always preaching Christ. The moment you preach something else, I will come back.' And Spurgeon said, 'Don't come back. There is nothing else I'm going to hear in this church but Christ.' And then he comments, says, 'A sermon without Christ is a brook without water, a cloud without rain, a well which mocks the traveler, a tree twice dead, plucked up by the root, a sky without a sun, a night without a star.'" And these modern thinkers, these modern ministers who preach from this book, the Song of Solomon, and don't preach Christ from this book, they are far wrong. And brethren, it is very common nowadays among Reformed people, particularly in America, that when they preach from the Song of Solomon, what they speak of is morality. It is about marriage, but about love between a man and a woman. And I was recently hearing one of these very popular preachers, and in many respects good preachers, and yet he said, "I don't believe the Song of Solomon describes the relationship between Christ and me." This is what he said. "I don't believe it. I don't see it. I don't like it to think in this way." And if you think of the text that we are considering, he feels offended to think that he has such a relationship with Christ. And so, brethren, if a preacher doesn't see Christ in this book, what is then going to preach on? But it's just a brief word of introduction. So let us consider the preciousness of Christ. The Shulamite is speaking here, and she said, "A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breast." And the first thing that comes before us is the reasons of Christ's preciousness. What makes Christ precious? And here we have a word which is myrrh. I hope this is the right pronunciation. And this was something in Scripture which is described as rare and costly. It was something that rich people could have. It is something that belongs to those who were wealthy. And when the Shulamite says that her beloved is a bundle of myrrh, she's saying, he is very precious to me. He has a great value to me. And so, the Shulamite is describing her beloved as someone who is precious. The value of it, the cost of it, it was something very expensive to buy. And so, it is a type of Christ. It is a picture of what Christ is for the believer. He is precious. He has a great value for us. And the Bible speaks of Christ as someone who is precious. He is precious because God considers him precious. He might be despised of men, but yet for God, Christ is precious. The Apostle Peter speaks of the blood of Jesus as something which is precious, more precious than the wealth of the whole world. He is precious. And if you think of Christ, who he is, you understand why he is precious. Of him, says the Apostle Paul, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And let me quote Spurgeon again. He said, once Christ came down on earth, when God gave Christ to the world, he gave heaven itself. The most wonderful things in heaven was given to man. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He is the Son of God. He must be, for who he is, precious. And no one can be compared to Christ, because none of us is like Christ. We are men, good men, still men. But Christ, he is God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. He is the unchangeable. He is the infinite. He is God. And this makes him precious. It's not just what he has done that makes him precious, but who he is. There is none like Jesus. He is man and God, or God and man. Two natures in one person. He is costly. He is precious. But also, he is precious because he is pleasant. This myrrh was something that was considered very pleasant. It was a very expensive perfume, something that gives pleasure when you smell it. And so, Christ is to the believer someone who is pleasant. We have pleasure in Christ. Like this perfume for the Shulamite, something that gives pleasure, something that gives delight, something that satisfies our souls. And no one else can fill the soul of the believer like Christ. We rejoice in God's providence for us. We rejoice when we have food on our table. We rejoice for our wife, for our husband, for our children. We rejoice for everything that God gives to us. We are thankful, hopefully, for what we have. But the greatest pleasure for the believer, the things that satisfies most his soul, is Christ. He is something that gives us delight. It's not something that is a burden for us. It's a pleasure. Notice that she puts this bundle betwixt her breasts. Not on her shoulder, not something to carry. Not on her back, something to forget, but near to her heart. And it is something that gives us pleasure. No wonder we call him the altogether lovely one. We have a relationship with Christ, which is not simply master and servant, but it is husband and wife. And I hope this is the case in your marriage, that this relationship is not a burden, but it is a pleasure. To be married with Elisabetta for me is a delight. It's a pleasure to be with her. She is, in many respects, my joy, something that makes my heart happy. But a greater thing for a Christian is to enjoy this relationship, this nearness with Christ. He is a bundle of myrrh, in the sense that He is pleasant to us. He is our delight. But a third reason why Christ is precious is that it is preserving. This myrrh was used in the past by the Egyptians, for example, and let me hear this word now, embalming the dead. We find this used even for Christ. When he was buried, you will find Mary going to the sepulchre with this myrrh to preserve the body from corruption. And this was also used to preserve from disease, to protect men from diseases. And so she keeps this close to her as a protection, as something that will preserve her from corruption. And so this is surely true of Christ. The reason why we so often fall into sin, the reason why we don't grow in sanctification as we should, it is because we are not close to Christ as we should. The best medicine for our soul, the best preservation from sin, from corruption, from disease, is fellowship with Christ. Here is the great secret for a holy life. It's not doing more. It is closeness to Christ. She wants this bundle of myrrh in her breast. On her breast. She wants have Christ near to her. Because she knows it's something that will preserve me. Something that will keep me pure. I will have always Him in my mind. I will never forget Him. And brethren, what Christ does to our life, the more time we spend with Christ, the more fellowship we have with Christ, the easier it will be for us to walk with Christ. The more we draw near to Jesus, the more blessed our life will be. And again, the picture is husband and wife. The more we love our wives, the closer we are to them, the easier it will be for us to know what they want from us, to help them, to be near to them, to support them, to accomplish our duties as husband. And the more we know Christ, the more time we spend with Christ, the more we know Christ's will, and the more we are blessed by Him, the more able we will be to obey His law. So Christ is precious to us because He preserves us. Notice the difference. It's not about rules. It's not about regulations. It's not about duties. It is about relationship. I've told you this many times in my sermons. Being a Christian is to have a relationship with Christ. It's about being with Him, united to Him, loving Him. So He is precious because He is preserving, but also because of healing. Again, myrrh was used in the past. It was recognized as something like a cure from diseases. Not just to preserve, but to actually heal. And this is truly sure of Jesus. He is Jehovah Rophi. I am the Lord that healeth them. He is the great physician. Not just of our bodies, but of our souls. And He is precious to us because He is our comforter. This is not just the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is Christ. Remember what He said when He promised the Holy Spirit? I will give you another comforter. Who is the previous one? It is Him. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit is done for Christ. Christ comforts us through His Spirit. It's not something independent from Jesus. And so Christ is our healer. Christ is our physician. Christ is our comforter. And He is precious to us because when we are wrong in our heart, when we feel our heart sick, full of sin, full of doubts, full of fear, in Christ we find healing. Not in ourselves, not in the minister, not in religion, not in good works. We find peace, we find healing, we find joy in Christ. And the mistakes that many Christians are making, they see Jesus as the healer of bodies. We don't deny that Jesus is able to do it. And I believe He does it. But the main emphasis of Christ as a healer, as a physician, is the physician of our souls. And so, if your heart is troubled, where is the comfort? In Christ. And the reason why we have so many doubts, so many fears, so much unhappiness, it is because we don't keep Christ close to our hearts. We don't have fellowship with Jesus. And you will find yourself, I'm challenging you, the closer you are with Christ, though you lose everything in this world, you will be content. I remember hearing an American preacher, he was giving a short address about the prosperity gospel. And he says, that's not the truth. And he felt really angry with this doctrine. Real Christianity, the real gospel is God is enough. It's not to have more money or a better car, a better house, but God is enough. And for the Christian to have Christ because of His preciousness is to have everything. But also, Christ is precious to us because He is our beautifier. He beautifies us. And myrrh was used in the past as something to make women better. If you read in the book of Esther, you will find that before the virgins appeared before the king, they were, I think, 6 months using myrrh. It was used against wrinkles and many things to make women better. And what Christ thus, He makes us better. He loves us as we are. He sees us black and awful. And He loves us in all our sins, in all our misery. But He loves us so much that He changes us. And the reason why we don't change, the reason why we are not as we should, it is because we are not close to Jesus. Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. What does glorify the Christian? If we can use this word, what does make the Christian more in the likeness of Christ? It is well doing? It is going to church? It is to be baptized? No. It is contemplating Christ. It is fellowship with Christ. Being near to Christ. And the more time we spend with Christ, the more we will be like Him. And the reason why the church is not like Christ, it is because we don't keep Christ close to us. We are Christless. That's why we are so far from Christ. But He is precious because He transforms us. He beautifies us. And so, the best people you know, the most attractive people you ever met, are godly people. Have you noticed that? Maybe their body is not so beautiful according to the modern standard, but when you are with them, they are absolutely wonderful. You love to be with them. You have delight in them. Why? Because they look very much like Christ. He makes us better people. And I think there is a winsomeness in the believer that is not in the unconverted man. I think when a man from the world sees a Christian, he should be amazed. He should find in us something that he desires. You, Christian, have something that I don't have. And the question for us is, are we as we should be? What does the world see in us? When they look to us, when they contemplate the church, when they behold us, what do they see? Do they see a people transformed and beautified by Christ and His gospel? Or do they see just people going to church? Christ is precious because He transforms us. He makes us different. He doesn't keep us as we are. And so, here are just some reasons why Christ is precious. But also, Christ, when we look at the preciousness of Christ, let us consider now, how is this preciousness felt by the believer? This preciousness is not just a doctrine or a theory. This has an impact on the believer. We feel, as Christians, the preciousness of Christ. We don't say that Christ is precious because the minister says this about Him. We profess as Christians that Christ is precious because He is precious. And we have somehow, somewhere, tasted and see that God is good. And we feel this preciousness personally. It's a personal thing. Look what she says. It's my well-beloved unto me. He is my well-beloved unto me. And the world might think what they like about Him, to me, He is my well-beloved. They might despise Him. They might reject Him. But He is a bundle of myrrh unto me. And so the point is not, the question is not, is Christ precious? Because He is precious. But the question for us is Christ precious to us? It's not what the Bible says about Christ. It's not what the church thinks about Christ. What do you think about Him? What do you feel about Christ? Are you able to say, like the Shulamite, that He is a precious Christ? Is Christ precious to you? Not to the others. To you. It is a very personal thing. Peter said that Jesus is disallowed indeed of men. But then he said, but to us who believe, He is precious. And it is not a general truth, though it is, but it is mostly a personal thing. It is felt in a personal way. It is something that belongs to the personal experience of the Christian. It's not in the confession of faith. It is in the heart of the believer. It is in the heart of the Christian. The Christian believes and feels and knows that Christ is precious. So, is Christ precious to him, to you. But also, it is felt intensely. Intensely. Look what he says. My well-beloved. He doesn't say, my beloved. My well-beloved. It strengthens. He is showing a great love about him. She feels this preciousness very much in her heart. He is my well-beloved. Christ is a bundle of myrrh unto me. He is extremely precious. And it is more than following. It is a deep relationship. Do you know anything of this? Do you know this preciousness? Do you feel in your heart that nothing is like Christ? Briefly, the result of this preciousness. What does this preciousness produce in the heart of the believer? It produces a desire. She wants him. She desires him. That's why she wants to keep this bundle of myrrh near to her breast. She desires him. It's a way for her to say, I want to be with you. I want to be as close as possible. It's the desire of the believer to be united with Christ. To be with Christ wherever Christ is. To have Christ in our mind all the time. To have Christ in our heart all the time. In our conversation. To be full of Jesus. This is what is the result of His preciousness. As soon as the Holy Spirit reveals to us the beauty and excellency of Christ, we desire Him. We don't desire because we have to. We desire Him because He is desirable. We love Him, not because we must love Him. We love Him because He is lovely. We delight in Him, not because we have to. We delight in Him because He is our chief delight. He is pleasant. He is wonderful. And therefore, we desire Him. Do we? But also another fruit is resolution. She said, He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. It is more than a desire. She has taken a decision. I desire Him and I will put Him in my heart. I won't let Him go. And this all night is not in the text. That means her desire is to have Him all the time. And her resolution is to have Him all the time. She is making steps to keep Him, to have fellowship with Him. And the problem with us, brethren, that we desire Christ, we long for Him, we are envying in a holy way those who enjoy Christ. But the problem is that we are not ready and willing to make all the steps that will enable us to win Christ. We want Christ without the effort. We want Christ in a lazy way. But to win Christ, there is a battle. There is a war. There is a resolution required. And the Shulamite is determined to have Christ. She is determined to enjoy Him. To have fellowship with Him. To be close to Him. And I think, brethren, we should have the same determination. Not just the same desire. But the same readiness, the same willingness to win Christ, to obtain Him, fellowship with Him and His suffering. We should determine, brethren, to have Christ above everything else and everyone else. It is an act of the will. It's not just a desire of the heart. It's an act of the will. And brethren, Christ is precious. If He is precious, let us desire Him. Let us win Him. With all our hearts. With all our mind. With all our strength.